Monday the 15th of October, Rabbi Osher Chaim Levine, keeper of the book, Hogar.
We are people who come into contact with other people on a frequent basis. The question is how well do we really know people? Usually, if a person goes to a simcha, sitting at the same table with somebody, hasn't met him from Adam, and they both have a good schmooze, and at the end of the evening, the question is how well do you actually know this person? So, usually you can cover quite a lot of ground, but the truth of the matter is that, as William James once said, when two people meet, there are really six people present. That's how each single person sees them himself, that's how each single person sees how the other person sees him, and how each single person really is. They're not always exactly the same. So if a person meets somebody on a one-off, usually it's inadequate for him that this person can then take up an offer of writing that person's biography. Typically, to write a biography of somebody, it requires years of research, it requires in-depth interviews, taped conversations with confidence and with close family, friends and acquaintances, in order to build up a true picture. Anything less than that, all you're going to get is get a paper card, a two, even one-dimensional representation of the person, but not a true appreciation of who this person is. Over the last days of Yom Tov, my wife and I went to Belgium, and my kids, we went around to someone's house, and they were looking for some books to read, and they came across some Belgian comics. Belgium hasn't produced that much for the world except for chocolate and comics. The only problem is that most of the comics were in Flemish. So they were leafing through them. Afterwards, I asked one of them, do you actually know what's going on? So she had a faint idea of what the storyline was. But nothing more than that. When we're approaching the topic of the personalities in Tanakh and the Torah, biblical personalities, similarly also, it's absolutely imperative that we try and build up a true representation, nothing, no caricatures whatsoever, and anything less than an in-depth, investigative understanding based upon what the Torah says, and more importantly, how Chazal interpret that. Anything else than that will not do. Baruch Hashem, Chassid Shmaya, have just published a paper. It's not out in the UK yet. It's called People of the Book, on 50 personalities in Chumash, and I'm trying to work on the ones in Tanakh. And what I tried to have done is to just give a small little snippet, a sketch, based upon what Chazal are teaching us about each personality, from the famous, obviously, Mois, to little less obscure characters, Nimrod, Lot's wife, etc. Obviously conscious that it's unable to do justice to any particular person, not in one short essay, never mind in a whole long biography. What I'd like to discuss today is actually somebody who didn't make it to the final cut, of my book that is, but obviously is found in three places in the Torah, and that is the enigmatic personality of Hagar. Who was she? What was her role in Jewish history? We know that she's the Shivcha, she's the maidservant of Sarah on the one hand, we know that she becomes the wife of Avraham Avinu, and she's also the infamous mother of Yishmael. We find Hagar in three particular places. First is found in Lech Lecha, capital Tez Zayin, where we are introduced to Sarah, who she was, and how she actually ended up to become Avraham's wife. Later on we have episode once, Yishmael's born, and the negative influence which he exerts upon Yitzchak, to the extent that Avraham Avinu, as urged by Sarah, tells him they have to be expelled. And later on, in Parshas Chayesoro, we have, very strangely, how Yitzchak brings her back to Avraham Avinu as a concubine, as taking on the name of Keturah, which, as I'll say, is a reference to Hagar. Let's just quickly go through how the Torah mentions it, as illuminated by Chazal, and ask a few questions to try and build up a picture of who Hagar really was. She's introduced, Sarai Eshes Avram Loyalada Loy, Sarah was barren, she didn't have a child, and therefore she. But Sarah had the last shivchom mitzris. She had an Egyptian maidservant, Ushmai Hagar, and the name of this Egyptian maidservant was Hagar. Chazal say, what's the name Hagar, and where did she come from? So, Bereishis Rabbah it says, Omer Reb Shimon Bar Yichai, Hagar Bito Shel Parehosa. She was a princess. She was the daughter of Pharaoh of Pare. The Kivin Shara Pare Matin Shenasi Lissar Bebeisai. When Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim and Pare noticed all the miracles that transpired because of Sarah when he forcibly took her, not a bit so benotlala. He gave his daughter to Sarah as a gift. For Omani, he said, Mutav Shte Biti Shivcha Bebeisu, better that my daughter should become a maidservant in this regal house, in the house of Avraham Avinu. V'loi Gibra Bebeis Acher, not a mistress, not a woman of important standing in another house. And that's the pshat, Ushma Hagar, Ha Igrech. Mainly this is your scha. This is the scha I've given you. Hagar comes with Ha Igrech. That is the introduction of who Sarah is. So what happens is, of who Hagar is. We find that Sarah is unable to have children, so she goes to Avraham Avinu, and she says to Avraham Avinu, Bona El Shivchosi, may I take my maidservant, Ulai Evneni Mena. Maybe you'll have a spiritual heir from her. Vayishma Avram the Kol Sarai, Avram listened to her, and Vatikach Sarai Eshes Avram Es Hagar, he took her, and she becomes pregnant. Then we have Sarah starting to change. Now that she's become pregnant, now that Hagar becomes pregnant, she tries to take things easy, and she vatikal givurto beinel. She starts looking lightly to her mistress. Sarah is very upset. She says to her husband Avram, Yishbet Hashem beini venecha, look what's happening, look what's happened to Hagar, I give it to you as a wife, and suddenly she's treating me very, very lightly. Vatenel, Sarai, the pasuk says that Sarai inflicted her. You understand what that means? Vatibach miponah, and she runs. Where does she flee to? She goes to the midbar, and there she chances upon a malach. The malach says, "Where are you going?" And she says, "Vatimem mipnei Sarai givirti anochi barachas. I'm running away from my mistress." Very interesting. The Medrash of here says, contrasting Hagar to Shimshon's father Manoach, who when he saw a malach, which was a supernatural occurrence which he wasn't used to, he thought he was immediately going to die. Mashenkin Hagar is quite usual. You see malach very, very frequently. So then the Medrash says that she is considered Tzipor Nashel Avos V'lo Kareitzon Shlobonim. It's better the fingernails of the Avos, which is reference to Sarah, namely who were in contact with Sul Malachim regularly, in contrast to Manoach, to the stomach of the children who didn't see Malachim that frequently. So over here we see that Hagar is being contrasted to fingernails, which is a very, very interesting analogy. Later on the Malach tells her, go back and you're going to have a child. What's his name? His name is going to be called Yishmael, and very famously, who will Yishmael be? Pera Adam. He'll be a wild person, wild man. Yodav Akol V'yad Kol Boy. His hand on everybody, and everyone will want to put their hand on him. And she goes to the case of Be'er Lachai Ro'iv, and she goes back, and she has Yishmael. That's the end of the first appearance of Hagar in the Torah. Later on in Parshas Vayera, after Yishmael is born, and after Sarah has Yitzchok, Sarah sees that Vatera Sarah es ben Hagar ha-mitzriz ashiyod le-Avram misachek. She sees that he is playing around, he's doing various iniquities, as Chazal explain, and she counsels her husband, Gorash ha-omah ha-zoyf es-bonel, divorce them, get rid of them, exile them from my house. Vayira adavam o'id b'ein Avram. Avram doesn't like this, it's evil, it doesn't appear right. But Achshbaku tells him, listen to whatever Sarah says. Kol asher toma alecha Sarah shema b'kola, ki b'Yitzchak yikarecha Sarah, because your seed will only come from Yitzchak and not from Yishmael, not from the son of Hagar. So So they depart, and guess where do they go again? Back to the Midbar. This time it's the Midbar, Bamidbar Be'er Shava, and Yishmael is ill, and Hagar thinks he's going to die, so she throws him away. She doesn't want to see him die, and Yishmael davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Yishmael's tefillah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Hagar to see a well, and through that she's able to feed Yishmael, and Yishmael doesn't die. And then later on they depart, and Vayesha Bamidbar Paron, again they settle in the Midbar of Paron, Vatikachloi Imoy Isham Be'eret Mitzrayim, and Yishmael Hagar took a wife for Yishmael from Mitzrayim. That's the second occurrence, and the third occurrence is later on in Parshas Chayisara, where it says Vayitzchak ba'ir l'chay ro'i. Yitzchak was coming back from this place, and then a few pesukim later on it says Vayitzchak Avram Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. So Chazal say, Rashi brings down on Shom, he says that Yitzchak shehalach l'haviyas Hagar l'Avram Aviv Shisnur. Yitzchak went to try and get Hagar back to Avram, so Avram would remarry her. And her name is Keturah, as Chazal explain why she called Keturah, because she, as Chazal say, Shekitra mitzvos and ma'asim toivim, that she had a mitzvah like which was as beautiful as Keturah, or she bound herself to her husband, Avram Avinu, or something along those lines. So different plotting as to what's going on over here. Let us try to understand, what exactly is the nature of this relationship between Hagar and Sarah? Initially, Hagar is the maidservant of Sarah, namely she needs to see herself under the jurisdiction of her mistress. But then, what happens? She breaks free, she marries Avram Avinu, she's unable to father the Yitzchak, which Avram wants. Sarah has selflessly gives her maidservant in the hope that she will, that Hagar would have her, the child, the spiritual heir that Avram Avinu required. But it doesn't happen. Why is Hagar unable to mother a Yitzchak that will become Avram's spiritual heir? What is the friction between Sarah and Hagar and this affliction, which in fact the Ramban mentions, because of this, that Sarah and her Madrega did something wrong and she was punished because of this. But what's this friction over here? And why does she flee? Firstly, she flees from Avram house, and secondly, she's expelled from Avram's house later on. Excuse me. And where does she go? The Midbar. Always the Midbar. Why did she gravitate there? What was about that location that was such a geschmack place that she wants to go to the Midbar? There are plenty of other settled places. It seems like the natural inclination was, let me go to the Midbar. Why? And more curiously, what is her relationship with Yitzchak? She's almost the one to have Yitzchak. She's not very focused, right? She then is the one who excuse me. She then's the one who is because of Yitzchak, she gets expelled from Avram's house. And later on it's Yitzchak who's the one that brings her back. And interestingly, what's the gematria of Hagar? 208. What's the gematria of Yitzchak? Also 208. There seems to be some correlation. There's something much deeper over here. In order to have an insight into this, and we obviously can't do the thing completely justice in the time allocated, we need to understand that to fully comprehend a portrait of Hagar, in fact any one of the personalities mentioned to us in the Torah, one needs to understand where this he or she fits into the spiritual picture. The Torah which is given to us is a Torah which is forever, and therefore its lessons are timeless, and therefore that means that these personalities, they speak to us in the same way the Torah mitzvot, which are obviously eternal, they also speak to us, and the mitzvot that we are doing are the same ones as our ancestors did. Similarly also these personalities, they set the template for how our Avodas Hashem should be. Avraham Avinu, as we know, was the personification of Midas HaChesed. He was the one, the Hibaram, the Avram, because of Avram Avinu the world was created, and that parallels the concept of Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Mole Chesed, Mole Toiv, full of goodness, who wants to bestow his influence, his Shefa, his divine benevolence onto mankind. That is ingrained in the fabric of creation, as the Pasuk Tehillim says, Olam Chesed Yibonem. However, Chesed in itself is not good enough. We all know that we require the opposite character trait, Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin is very, very strange. It's a very, very, very complex, and it recognizes that kindness is fantastic, but that kindness needs to be channeled properly, and that's what requires din. So therefore, Avraham Avinu's tafkid in setting originating the Jewish people is incomplete until we have a Yitzchak, a din, to consolidate that, and that these two characteristics will merge together in Yaakov Avinu. Until we get that synthesis between these two antitheses, these two opposites, it's impossible to get the whole picture. However, din is problematic in the sense that the etzem, intrinsically, chesed is something good. Intrinsically, it's worthy to give, to be kind to other people. Of course, it can be misabused, like everything else in this life. But the nature of din in itself is problematic. Because din, justice, also has a connotation of breakdown. Something that breaks down is something that's incomplete, rather than where you see two people, where my personality merges with somebody else, where I give over to somebody else, where I see myself as with somebody else. Din is a division. It's a breakdown. Therefore, division, the original division, as we find, was obviously the chait of Adam Rishon, where he saw himself as an independent entity, something independent, something that requires, I can make a demarcation. There's Hashem and there's me. So therefore, din in itself denotes breakdown, and din is related in Kabbalah to the concept of tzimtzum. That's the idea that Shpoch who constrains an area, and that into that area, then that shefa needs to flow. Avraham Avinu's task was not only once he had set his trailblazing path of kindness into the world, it was then required to be consolidated with din. So therefore, his spiritual soulmate, his partner in all of his endeavors and all of his enterprise, needs to be somebody who was connected to the concept of din. In order to have a child, Yitzchak, we know Yitzchak is the personification of Gevurah, of Pachad, of din, namely the idea of taking something, the chesed of Avraham Avinu, and then making sure you stick to the same track and not deviating at all from that. That rule was required to be found in Avraham Avinu's mate. Therefore, Sarah Imenu wanted to make sure that Avraham Avinu would have a child, a spiritual heir, someone who would take this, who would take his chesed and make sure that there was din in this world. However, rather than doing that, Sarah actually had this quality. We find, for example, when it was required, Sarah was able to look at the matter, and it may have been cruel in certain respects to make sure and say that, no, Yishmael needs to go. Sarah had that Midas Hadin. When there is a world of chaos, the world of chaos is related to din, is related to the concept of din. Right? Everything is breaks down. It doesn't have the true din in that you require. True din is where you've got a world of law and order, not where there's chaos. So therefore, Chazal recognized that, as Chazal explained, that the 6,000 years of creation are divided into three phases, each of 2,000 years. And the first 2,000 years was a year of soyu, of chaos. Then Avraham Avinu came along, and that was the chelik of Torah. What does Torah do? Torah takes that negativity, it takes a world of chaos, of that vacuum, and it fills it injects it with kedusha. It that din that there is has what's called in Kabbalah a mituk. It's a sweetening. What you do is you take din, which intrinsically is can have negative connotations, and you make sure that you channel it in its correct medium. So for example, you take the idea of dinim and you say, no, the way to step HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to have din, to have halacha, and through that halacha I will be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that's din where it has its correct expression. However, and this is the crux of the problem, Hagar represents the concept of din. She was suitable to take the place of Sarah. She was suitable, in theory, to be able to have the one of Avraham Avinu's descendant, son, namely the one who will have din, but she represents the idea of unrefined din. A din which is problematic, a din which doesn't have a true qiyum. We'll explain this hopefully in a few minutes. Ideally, she needed to be subservient to Sarah. Sarah, who was the one who could have Yitzchak, in order for her to learn the tricks, to learn the ropes, to know what to do, it was imperative that she submit herself unto her mistress, unto Sarah. Because it was through Sarah, Sarah could truly give the birth to Yitzchak. And at that time before, she was Nakara. But ideally, that was Sarah's mahalach. That's what she could have achieved. What Hagar should really, where she messed up, was where Bilhah and Zilpah succeeded. What do we find with Bilhah and Zilpah? It's absolutely fascinating. Bilhah and Zilpah give birth to four Geshvatim, and recorded in the Torah, there's not one word of dialogue that they give. Even when it comes to naming them, they allow their mistresses, Rachel and Leah, to give the names of their children. Not one word from them themselves. Stum, complete. Why? Because the true way how Shifra is meant to be is to negate herself completely to her mistress. If they would have done that, if Hagar would have had a child like Bilhah and Zilpah did and allowed just Sarah to be mechanech him, that would not have been a problem. The problem was that unlike Bilhah and Zilpah, who took out the opportunity of being mistabik to a kodesh, to Yaakov Avinu, and have his children in order to have the shifekah. The shifekah, they are part of the shifekah. Mashenkein Hagar sees herself as independent. She sees herself as being special, as being different, as being someone who can stand on her own merits. She messes up where Bilhah and Zilpah succeed. So rather than become a surrogate mother, she blew it. Her din would not be refined. It wouldn't be held under check under the bondage of Sarah. So where does she gravitate? She leaves Avraham Avinu's house. First she flees, and after she's expelled, where does she go to? She goes to the place of complete tohu, of complete chaos. She goes to the place where there is no din whatsoever. There's no law and order. She flees and gravitates to the Midbar. The Zohar explains that the Midbar represents the idea of negativity, evil spiritual forces, and that is a reference to the soil, the first 2,000 years of anti-existence, before Avraham Avinu comes along and provides true existence, of Torah having an imprint in this world. The Midbar is Hefka. That, as I'll say, that's one of the reasons why a person should make himself the Torah is given in the Midbar, because it's completely Hefka. But what is the Torah is given in the Midbar? Because the Torah takes that Toyu, it takes that Hefka Welt, and it provides it with a template of how you can use this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the correct way as possible. The desert is cut off from civilization. It's uninhabited by most of the world. It's the wild. It's out of the reach of mankind. It's where man can't impose the din and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he should be. This is where Yishmael is. The Malach tells Sarah, go back to your mistress. You are trying to go away. The Malach tells Hagar, go back to your mistress, go back to Sarah. Because if you want your din to have expression, it needs to be under Sarah. It needs to be Sarah, and she's the one who can have Yitzchak. But she goes back reluctantly, but then she has Yishmael. And rather than allow Sarah to be Mechanech Yishmael, Hagar, it's very interesting, the Pasuk calls her, when Yishmael goes to Torah Bitzra, he discusses him, he calls him, but says, Vateva Sarah es Ben Hagar HaMitzris. He's still Ben Hagar HaMitzris, he's not your son, Avraham Avinu, he's not following your template, he's not following the taking at your chesed and consolidating it with din. That's why they go to the Midbar, and Shushan father says something absolutely incredible, and we see this mamash b'chush in today's society. He says there's two aspects to being Jewish. There's the first and foremost is the emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the theology for loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's only half the picture, half the story. There's also the second component is the laws of the Torah. It's okay for a person to be an iman and to have a lot of emunah, but that emunah is completely worthless if it doesn't have expression in action, in practice. If it doesn't have the world olam harsiya, therefore explains Rav Hirsch, Yishmael is half Jewish. He has that emunah. He has that shmia, that listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name is Yishmael. He listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He has that aspect of shmia. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Islam is not Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't have that action. He doesn't have that law and order. He doesn't have that those dinim that's required. He still gravitates to the unrefined din, which is his mother, which is Hagar. He hasn't taken that properly to be Ovid Hashem, to truly be the Zerah of Avraham Avinu, in order to create the formation of Al HaNevcha, of Klal Yisrael. So Sfasemis mentions that Yishmael is the interface between Klal Yisrael and the Umas La'olam, but it's not complete. And the Vilna Gaon very famously mentions that when we say Na'aseh v'Nishma, we combine these two things. We have the Na'aseh, the action, and we have the Nishma. We do want to hear, we do want to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but there must be a Na'aseh as well. And therefore, we find that Edom, Esav, he is Osui, he's the Na'aseh. We see Western civilizations, they build, there's an incredible infrastructure, because obviously in London and the tubes and things like that, but there is an incredible, you build up a metropolis, and there is an order, there are laws, albeit some pathetic ones, but there is a level of laws. Mash Ein Kein, Yishmael, in the Western, in the Arab world, there is no, the concept of laws, of order, the idea of building a society, a civilization which is going to produce something, that is not there at all. So therefore, Sarah herself had to have Yitzchak. It couldn't be Kam Hagar. And therefore it would be Sarah who had this propensity of din, she was able once to give, to have Yitzchak. And Yitzchak would be the one who has the Baal Din. That din of Yitzchak was truly perfected at the Akedah. At the Akedah, when he took that din and said, I'm going to submit myself to Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it means dying, even if that means that I'm going to have non-existence, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's my ideal. And therefore that perfection of that mitzvah din, once Yitzchak comes along, it is Yitzchak who's able to take Hagar. If Yitzchak is able to take and refine that din of Hagar and then say, we share the same gematria, right? We also both 208, but I have now the ability after the Akedah to go and take you back to be mistabik with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now you'll be able to have this level of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why she's called Keturah, and Keturah is related to the word Keturah. Keturah incredibly includes the Chelvanah. Chelvanah is a very foul-smelling substance, which is referenced to the concept of Rishoyim, Midas HaDin. But nevertheless, once you have the Yitzchak, once you have the Din which is sets the template, then you have the Mitzvah Din, the sweetening of that Din, which means that Hagar can now find expression as it should be. As Klal Yisrael, we're the ones who are both from Avraham Avinu and from Yitzchak. We do combine the Chesed and the Din together. We do want to, we have the Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that Emunah must always find expression in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Met Hashem, taking this template in our own lives, Met Hashem will be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.